Welcome to the latest Watercolors Aquarium Gallery podcast brought to you from the Aquarium Rush Studios in the very wet downtown Grand Rapids, Michigan. My name's Ben.
And I'm Charles.
And I'm Amy.
Wait a second. I'm not Ben.
And I'm not Amy.
I think I'm the only original cast member in this recording session.
I'm an original guest member.
It's true. Mandy's first time.
First time everything.
Yeah. Like, this podcast wasn't my idea. Like, I think literally yesterday I got a text that was just like, hey, would you want to do a podcast without Ben? And I was like, how would that work? Because Ben's like the host. And so then I formulated the idea that I wanted to approach it. And the idea that came to me was that, like, well, everyone here at this table is here because of Ben. Like, none of us... Like, literally none of us would be here if Ben hadn't built a store for us to work in. And between the three of us, there's about 12 years of, like, relationships here. Mandy just celebrated 4 years. Eva just celebrated three. And I've been here for about 5.5. And so I wanted this episode, me personally, I wanted this episode to be kind of like a, as Mandy said, like an ode to Ben, because... like, here's to you, buddy. Like, yeah, we've been doing this for podcast for like 3 years, and the good and the bad and all this other crazy, and I'm going to say it, crazy bullshit that we have to deal with all the time. Man, we've been through it together. So, we're going to poke some fun. We're going to talk about some of the things that we do that get on each other's nerves. And we're going to talk about a lot of the things that, like, what we like about working here and why we're still here and why, like, I work in a completely different environment and I still show up every week to record a podcast. And, like, why would we do that? Well, that's what we want to talk about here.
Maybe a little intro on myself, and Eva should probably, I know you've been a guest, but have you said what you do here?
I don't think so, now that you mention it.
So I am a manager here at the retail store, and then I also... do all the social media, so the Instagram post and your Facebook post, most of that is me.
And you do a fantastic job.
Thanks.
Yeah, I don't think, I think we've had one Facebook post with a two with you in it, because I recall there was the meet the employee post,
yeah,
that we were doing, meet the team. And then I was actually going back through the photo album recently, and there was a photo with just like stacks of Aquasoil, and it's you, Sally, and Eva in the photo.
That's surreal.
Yeah, I was like, oh, whoa, all right.
But all those amazing pictures of fish on the Facebook and on the Instagram, those are all Mandy. Like 9.9 out of 10 of them are Mandy. Just
and fish are not easy to photograph.
No, fish
screaming
are,
at aquariums.
Fish are a bitch to photograph.
They're awful.
I think every photo I've ever contributed to the Facebook page took about an hour of preparation.
And I do a bunch of things. I don't know. I'm just kind of a general retail, wherever I'm needed. I do a lot of quarantine stuff nowadays.
You're kind of heading freshwater QT now, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I'm heading freshwater QT. I just check in on it and make sure everything's being done that needs to get done. I guess that's what being a manager is, but...
I know. That's like the hardest thing about being a manager is just delegating.
Oh, yeah. And then I do a lot of retail. I'm usually on the floor, I would say, 9 hours
you
out
do
of
a
10.
Wonderful job of it. You're
aw,
great with
shucks.
The customers.
Thanks. I hope so. Y'all are annoying. I'm kidding. I love you.
I don't work retail anymore. They can have any opinion they want of me.
He has long hair.
What?
Why is that relevant?
It's not.
It is only because so many people, when yeah. Calder started, they were like the long hair guy with the beard, and everyone was like, you're gonna have to be more specific.
Yeah, which one?
Tall, really nerdy. You're gonna have to be more specific.
Glasses, not helping.
Kind
white?
Of kind of autistic. Okay, more specific.
Brown or red hair.
I'll start off just because I got one, and
thank
like
you.
For me, it's like the thing that I miss most about this place is the social work environment. I have never had a workplace before or since where like literally every single person I worked with, I liked working with. And like part of that is just Ben is very good at attracting people that are good people. And so like
and getting rid of the ones that aren't.
Yes. And so like bringing up the people that like the weird scatterbrain. I have so many like specific stories of like there's the weird weekend trauma bonding where like the weekend crew people, they just know what it's like. And it just like the amount of empathy and understanding and compassion it takes to work with people that like everyone here is a good person. So like you have to be willing to understand each other.
Except Nick. Let's be honest.
Oh God.
Nick is in the studio audience, by the way, and also does the editing. So,
yeah, I don't know. Thoughts, comments on that?
Well, I mean, it's similar to what I had on my list, which my very first thing was coworkers. The reason I like working here is because of you guys.
Me too.
I enjoy working. And like you said it, Charles, I've never worked anywhere where I enjoy working with every single person. And I really, truly enjoy working with everyone here. And everybody brings a little something different to watercolors. So it's kind of fun to see personalities come out and, yeah, just get to know everybody.
Yeah, Ben and I joke about it a lot amongst ourselves. But, like, this job really taught me the difference between equity in the workplace and equality in the workplace. Because, and the analogy is because I feel like me and Allie are two extreme opposite ends of humanity. What it takes to make me successful in a work environment and what it takes to be her successful in a work environment, it's a very different thing because like, Ben once threw out the analogy that like I'm the high CO2 highlight CO2 plant, like, and Allie is this like low, like this floating plant that just needs nothing to thrive. The best case scenario with Allie is you just leave her alone.
She needs space.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And air.
Exactly. And it's like,
and time.
I can't do that. I'm
and
not like that.
Fish.
And a pufferfish. And so like, yeah, like what, that's, I guess that's my way of saying that, like having compassion and empathy for people who are different than you and being able to let the best of them come out. I've never had a workplace that was as good at doing that as here.
For a variety of work styles too. I feel like we all work a little bit extra just to try to make sure that everybody has the support that they need in order to make it work.
Yeah.
It's really nice. And when someone's struggling, they're genuinely encouraged to let us know and nobody's going to be mad at them if they mess up, which, you know, it happens.
I've never made a mistake here.
Never.
Never.
What was it then, the one podcast where I was like, if there was a motto for this store, it would be, and somehow we made it work. Yeah.
Me and Nick were just talking about that today, how like we tried to create more structure within the store because we felt like things were slipping through the cracks. We tried to assign things to people for them to do at certain times. And it just doesn't work as well as all of us just spinning as many plates as we can and doing our best to keep on top of each other's plates. Like it just works.
Mostly.
Like 80% of the time. We do a decent job. Maybe we shouldn't put that in the podcast.
No, it's definitely going in.
Awesome.
So I recall in one of the podcasts, Ben discussing the questions he asked you guys or your interviews. And I want to tell a story about my interview with Ben. This was back at the old store on Jefferson. And it was in the back room. And Charles, if you remember, the back room was about like a tenth of the size of the back room we have now.
Oh, there was it's even smaller.
It a was chair, a kitchen area, and like a door to the outside.
If me, Luann, Amy, and Ben were all in that back room, I would have to be touching knees with someone else in there.
Yeah. So I sat down on the chair and he's asking me the questions and I reached my hand down and I pulled my hand up and my hand was sliced and bleeding. And I was like, I'm bleeding, because Ben goes, oh, I broke a tank top on that chair earlier today. And there was just a bunch of glass sticking on the chair. So I was just bleeding. going through my interview.
It took me a minute when you said tank top to...
Oh, that's funny.
Aquarium lid.
Aquarium canopy. Glass aquarium canopy.
Now, I wasn't here for this, but I distinctly... I don't remember Ben telling me the whole story, but I remember him telling me... So anyways, I cut someone who came in for an interview today, and I was like, what?
My interview was hilarious. Like, I went home thinking, man, I don't know if I got that job. I just, because I remember sitting down, I was feeling okay, but I was so nervous because I love fish and I've always wanted to work in a cool fish store. And this seemed like one that actually kind of was trying to do things well. And so I sat down for my interview, and then we got to a question where Ben asked me about the nitrogen cycle, and I couldn't remember any of the sciencey words like usual. I was just like, yeah, I know there's bacteria and it's good bacteria and it converts the ammonia into less toxic things. And I'm sorry, guys, I'm really nervous. I literally said that I was really anxious during that interview.
I feel like you probably did better than 90% of the
people.
Apparently, because I got the job.
I was about to say, I think Ben specifically said to me, and this was before we ever interviewed Calder, so this is different, but I think it's different now.
I feel like every interview is different from Calder.
But like, Ben specifically told me that I was one of two people who could explain the entire nitrogen cycle from beginning to end at that point in time.
I don't think he asked me that question. He asked me the three types of filtration.
Uh-huh.
And then he said I was the only one in his group that he had recently interviewed that got that right.
Mm-hmm. I think my understanding is that just because I didn't lie, he liked that. I didn't try to make anything up.
Mort's like, why are you leaving?
Good times.
Great times.
Great times.
All right. So we did...
Coworkers. I'm sure that was the top of all of our lists.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, Mandy, you have to go next. But I don't think coworkers and work environment are the same thing.
My next one is that Ben doesn't micromanage.
Oh, my God. Yeah. He just trusts us to get our stuff done.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he and I had a pretty close relationship when it came to like management. And I remember him having a very specific example where he was like, I hired you guys because I decided you were capable of a thing. I have to have the trust that you can do it. And if I can't do that, then why am I employing you?
We do have a very long training period though, depending on the individual. But like, I wasn't allowed to talk to customers for a good couple months. I wasn't allowed to be alone with customers for a year. And I mean,
I don't remember that. I don't know why.
Because we had like three people back then.
Yeah, they had
enough.
But
to be fair, when I originally was hired, mind you, I was supposed to replace Robbie. Imagine that.
Whoa. Yeah. Robbie does service. We have an aquarium services side for anyone who doesn't know that.
And he's been here for 10 years. At that point, he had been here for 6 years. So,
wow.
That would have been some big shoes to fill. And there's no way I could have done that, pulled that off. So I ended up being a mix of service and retail. Mm.
And then it wasn't until after we moved that you were full retail, right? But you still would like cover stuff.
I still did some service for a while, but then, yeah, moved completely to retail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. But yeah, Ben doesn't micromanage. Yeah, it's kind of funny because every once in a while he'll come downstairs and be like, this thing hasn't been done. And we'll be like, oh, nobody knew they were supposed to do that. And he's like, somebody should do that. And we're like, okay.
Cool story, fam.
He usually gets done. That is like, is that not how it happens, though?
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty chill. It's nice.
He comes and puts his feet up on the desk.
And he goes,
just looks around.
Last time he did that, he said, now I see why you guys sit here so much.
He did. Maybe he doesn't micromanage, but he's watching us on the camera all the time.
Like shit, like all the time. And it's just like the last recording session I did with him, I came in like early and like, if it doesn't come through on the podcast, I don't think you're paying attention. Ben and I have a like playful antagonistic relationship, and the longer he and I are talking to each other, the more potent it gets. That I have no, I haven't listened to the episode. I have no idea how much Nick had to cut out, because Ben and I had a full hour before that recording session where we were drinking and just ragging on each other. And so by the time Amy hit record, he and I were already firing on all cylinders, and there was nothing stopping us at that point. It's ridiculous.
I was in that episode, right?
Yeah.
All right, Eva, what do you got?
Oh, man. I really like that we're encouraged to do projects at the store. I think that's pretty cool. We have an entire breeder lab. Oh, Charles just crossed something off the list.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have an entire breeder lab downstairs. All of those are personal projects of the employees here, basically of fish that Ben got in or that we asked him to get in, that he was like, or that he got in specifically for us, or that came in and we liked. And so we just put them down there and work with them for a little while until it's time to sell them. So sometimes you'll see fish upstairs that are really, really fat and mature and happy and beautiful. Very likely they were in the breeder lab for a while.
Yeah, I was going to elaborate on that. Ben actively encourages pet projects. It's not like he just like ambivalently lets them happen. Yeah. It's like he purposely set aside space in his retail facility that's functionally non-functional.
Yep.
Because it's there just for people to try stuff out. And it was first justified with, we were doing YouTube back then, so we were filming videos of it. And we did a lot more posting on Instagram, I think, at the time of things happening in there. Like the evolution of the breeder lab was so strange, because like it originally started as this like studio space. It, like that's what it was intended to be. And
now it's full of Nick's epistos.
Yeah. Well, and what happened was that like Amy and I and Ben, we burned out on producing videos. And if you go back and listen to the like reintroduction of your host episode, we actually go into that pretty in detail about like why we're not producing YouTube, what happened there, blah, 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 if we're going to go back into it again. But I remember very distinctly having this like day where I went down there, and it like Ben and I, like 2 days beforehand, we were like, if we're not using this as a functional space, like what are we going to use it for? And so like I was down there, it was one of my days where like I had one guaranteed day to work in the basement uninterrupted, and I was down there and I was looking at it, and I just remember feeling so like sad. Like there was all this space set aside to do stuff and nothing was happening in it because we weren't filming. And I spent the whole day tearing it apart, putting it back together. And then I told Ben that this should be like project space for everyone else. And like I think I pitched it as a community garden. And he just kind of ran with it. He loved the idea, and that's what it's been ever since.
He does keep trying to get us to post it on Instagram and Facebook more, and we have not been.
Yeah.
And we need to, but nobody gets enough time down there to take pictures.
Spinning plates and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. All the plates spinning, a couple of them break every once in a while.
That's the thing. You guys are on the ground floor of an expanding business, and it's like you're trying to, like, that's the balance that everyone's trying to strike here, is like, how do you keep doing everything you've been doing, mm-hmm. and then more, because more is happening at all times.
I think we do a pretty good job overall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my space is more upstairs, mm-hmm. doing a lot of those projects, but it's fun.
Yeah.
I tried my hand at breeding. It didn't work out.
Fat,
happy paradise fish came upstairs, and somebody bought them immediately because they were so fat and happy.
Yeah.
And gorgeous.
You know, actually, we had one of Nick's MacMasteri Episto pairs downstairs. We're in a tank that got broken by a certain mishap. No employees this time.
Contractor.
But they got moved to a bigger tank because of it and immediately started flirting. So I feel like we need to do more shifting around of things down there. That's like when things aren't breeding, move them. We have tons of space.
Mandy, you have pet projects though. They're not breeding projects. True. You do like all the aquascaping and Ben has actively encouraged that.
Yes, he has.
And so like the display tanks now look way better than they did a year ago. It's because you've been spending the time to get better at it and you have more space to work in and you just keep doing it.
And whenever Mandy sets up a little aquascape or a little aquarium, like 9 times out of 10 it sells within a month.
So speaking of projects, not only does Ben encourage it and provide the space, but he also provides all of the materials and the fish. And so I've never heard him. He's turned down a couple of ideas.
Ridiculous expensive ones.
I was about to say probably for me and Calder, if I had to guess most often.
Yep.
He turned down our
Rainbow Shiner tank. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I'm still rooting for that one.
We need a Rainbow Shiner tank.
Someday, when we find a reliable source to get them in, then I bet we could have a Rainbow Shiner tank. One pet project that he recently sponsored that I'm kind of excited about is I think one of his friends had some old kilns laying around. And so Ben put it all together to get the kilns installed in the basement and all set up. So soon enough, we should be producing our own pottery. Ben actually hired Calder's girlfriend Sam to run that since she has a lot of experience with pottery, so that's coming up soon. Sneak peek for any podcast listeners, y'all get to.
And we had one of our little,
keep an eye out for that.
Well, that's the other thing, we had one of our little get-togethers where we did a tutorial on how to do pottery and we all got to make a little something.
Yeah, she showed us how to do it. That was really fun. She
Sam's great
job.
By the way.
Oh yeah, Sam's great. All right, what's next?
My perspective on that, like, is I literally came in once and there was this thing in the back and I was like, I turned to Ben and I said, what's up with the weird oven? And he goes, that's a kiln, Charles. I was like, why do we have a kiln? And he's like, okay, first off, I have a kiln, and second,
weird oven.
I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, no, I love it. Every time you turn around, there's something crazy going on here. So for me, there's absolutely zero bias in this at all. Not that I had anything to do with it and didn't have a lot of arguments and tears and frustrations and all these other things. But the fact that we have quarantine fish.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think of where I want to begin with this. Like, quarantine has been one of those things that I think...
Did that start from the beginning or was it?
It's something that Ben was trying to do right from the start, but I was the third or fourth person in the line, at least for saltwater quarantine. What?
Well, I was just going to ask, what was freshwater quarantine like at the beginning? Because I know saltwater quarantine was tumultuous for a long time, but you guys never talk about how freshwater quarantine got established.
So freshwater quarantine was like basically the way you saw it when you first started was the way it was from the beginning.
Okay.
Because what happened was they were like, we're going to try this. And that worked, as Ben would say, 100% of the time, 90% of the time. And so it was close enough that you could kind of put it on a back burner and focus on this thing that was just completely a dumpster fire and try to figure it out. Like, we lost one of our previous quarantine persons just because he couldn't figure out how to get a consistent copper level. And it wasn't until after he left that I don't remember if it was me or Robbie found a paper that said, so calcium carbonate will absorb copper. Mm-hmm. And I remember what it was. It wasn't the calcium carbonate. That's something that someone we knew right from the start. It was the bacterial blooms that will feed off of Prozipro.
Right.
Yeah.
That's an obscure one.
Yeah, that one was driving people nuts. And so that's when we started working with hypersalinity because Prazipro was our main medication for flukes, and we just kept getting flukes coming through the system.
I can't pretend to know anything about saltwater quarantine.
Yeah.
Except for that we do use hyposalinity.
I remember back at the old store, at some point, like, I wasn't running quarantine then, and this was two people before me, and being like, hey, what's this on this fish? And Ben and the guy being like, wow, that fish has been through 6 weeks. What in the world? It's just incredibly frustrating. Like, to the point where I'm not kidding, the person two people before me running saltwater quarantine was so absolutely flustered when he left that he has not kept a single tank since he left back in like 2018. Has not come back to keeping tanks.
What's nice about the quarantine is also it's a fun thing to tell our customers, especially the new customers that come in, when we can say, we do a full quarantine on all of our fish. We make sure they're healthy, they're parasite-free, they're eating, they're happy before we sell them to you. And the people's faces are usually just like, really? Like they've never even considered something.
Yeah, like specifically in saltwater too, there's insane value in that. Not just like it's a healthy fish, you have cleared it of diseases, it's eating, blah, 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 blah. Like all of that is great. But even more so, these fish have individual personalities. And my favorite story about that is having two people come in and they both wanted a Tamini Tang. And one customer, I was like, okay, you want this one? Because that one's a dick. And your tank is full of jerks and he'll fit in just fine. The other customer, I was like, you want this one? Because he's going to be the biggest thing in your tank, but this one's a pansy. And so he's not going to single anyone out and he should be just fine. And both tanks were a success. I fully believed that if those fish had been swapped, that Tamini tank in one tank would have gotten murdered and the other Tamini tank would have murdered everything else in that tank. And so like having your sales staff know not just the fish, but also like that individual's personality and how it could sort into an environment, that's incredibly valuable. Mm-hmm.
I also, I mean, this is more freshwater. I obviously work more with freshwater than I do saltwater, but just getting, like, having some time to really watch the fish, form an opinion on the fish, species and individuals.
Yeah.
But learning about them, you know, oh, that guy looks really cool once he gets comfy. That, look him up, do a little bit of reading on Seriously Fish. And then when the customers come in and they're like, hey, tell me about this fish, I actually have something to tell them. Or if I don't, Nick does. Or Allie does, or Mandy does, because we've all been working with these fish for at least 2 weeks, and it's great. It makes me feel really great about the fish that we sell and who we sell them to. It makes me feel like I can really give people a fish that's going to work in their aquarium and is what they're looking for. And it makes me feel a whole lot better about selling fish. I'm selling a pet, not just a decoration. It's great.
Yeah, that's a... We don't toot our horn too much like in the podcast about it, but like there's a genuine thing. Everyone who works here, they buy their fish and fish supplies here. Other fish
I
store
wouldn't even think of buying their fish anywhere.
Other
else.
Fish store employees buy their stuff here.
Yes, yep. That's true.
This is true. And we've poached one or two.
And that includes like managers.
Big box stores and local.
Yeah.
Fish stores.
I've literally gotten a phone call from someone being like, yeah, this guy at Petco told me that I should call you.
I've gotten a couple of those.
Yeah. I'm like, I love it. It's absolutely insane what the like ecosystem of this industry is right now. Like that would not have happened 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I like it.
Whose turn is it?
Mandy's.
Cool.
I'm going to say that I'm always learning something. My knowledge from when I worked here to now is mind-blowing to me. Just what I knew in saltwater was zero when I first started working here. And what I know now is exponentially so much more than I ever thought I could know about saltwater and freshwater, to be honest. But even more so saltwater
Yeah, working here part-time versus working here full-time is a completely different thing. Your learning curve plural time versus part-time is miles apart. Like I popped in over the weekend and you were there for the conversation with me and Calder where he was just like, why don't you know more about Central American cichlids? And I was like, bro, I've been learning about corals, plants, and West African cichlids for the last 3 years. There's only so much a person can learn. But like, those are all things that like people who listen to the podcast, they're like, wow, Charles is an expert on that. No, I am not. I am learning those on the fly as fast as I can just to try and stay just ahead of the questions.
Whenever Calder asks me why I don't know more about something, I just tell him I'm not a computer.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Boop, boop, beep, boop.
I am but a human.
Yeah, but it's just fun. Like, I just thinking back to when I first started here, and it's funny because my memories pop up on Facebook, and it was like downstairs in quarantine, and I was cleaning some tanks, and I was looking at the fish, and I had no idea what that fish even was. And now looking back, I'm like, oh, I know the scientific name of that fish and where it's from. And yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, when I started here, I knew betta's, barbs, and clownfish.
I didn't know that much.
Yeah.
I had like bits and pieces, but I think I started out on aquarium YouTube for sure. So I had some really broad, shallow information. And some really misleading information. And I think that's one of the great things about the staff here, too, is that they encourage asking questions and they're not assholes about correcting you when you're wrong about something. Like, if I say something blatantly incorrect, I just get, I see why you thought that, but actually.
Yeah, I didn't correct you earlier when you were like, there's a learning period to be, no, there's an unlearning period to work here.
True.
Like, it's not, the more important detail isn't getting up of enough knowledge base for a person to be functional here. It's far more important for them to unlearn all the bad habits that they had before they worked here.
There are some bad aquarium habits out there, y'all. Maybe that's another podcast episode.
That is another podcast.
Ooh.
Top five bad aquarium habits. There you go.
Using carbon.
I very often apologize to people when they come in for info dumping on them. Just like, thank you for entertaining my spiel. Do you have any questions? Because I just puked information onto you.
Yeah, I've just been learning so much about this very specific fish and you just took a 20-minute dump session on it.
You asked the wrong question.
Yeah.
Or the right question.
I like the customers that apologize for having us do our jobs.
So funny.
Sorry that you had to catch all those fish. That's why I'm literally here. I'm sorry that I asked you questions about the plants. That's my job.
Could I ask you to do me a favor real quick and just let me buy this thing from you, actually? That'd be great.
Yeah, my favorite example of that was, it was a weekend day with me, Allie, and Eva. And a customer stayed 10 minutes late because they wanted to buy a new light set and like hundreds of dollars in corals. And they were profusely apologizing. They felt terrible. They were like, oh, it's 10 minutes past closing. I feel so bad. And we were like at the back of my head, I'm like, you were like a third of today's sales. I do not.
Well, and like, you're the highlight of my week because you're excited. You're asking me questions. It doesn't take very long to just sell you some corals and a light. It takes a long time to get where you're coming from, answer all of your questions, and make sure that we're both on the same page and that I'm giving you something you're going to enjoy and that you're buying what you need to buy. That's what takes a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that you're leaving with that.
Trying to convince someone to buy something you're excited about and trying to figure out what someone else is excited about and how to tailor to them, that's a completely different skill set and it's so hard.
Yeah. I love it when they come in and they're just excited about the things I'm excited about.
The easiest customers for me are the ones that come in and they know exactly what they want. And I'm like, oh, thank God.
Well, that's any store though.
Yeah, but I don't mean like they come in and they're like, hey, I want this model of this. I mean the people that come in and like when people, the hardest customers for me were always the ones that come in and they're like, I want a pretty tank. I don't know what I want it to look like.
See, right. I'm the opposite. I like the people that come in and are not sure what they want, and I get to help them choose and kind of go through scenarios for them, what will work. And then when they kind of light up and they're I'm going to go with this.
Yeah. So like the easiest ones for me are like people that are like, I want, and I'm just throwing an example, I want a low tech planet aquarium and maybe like a shoaling fish to go in there. Mm-hmm. And even if they're like, I really like the color blue or whatever, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like that is so easy for me to work with because like I can wrap my brain around it. And it's another example why like everyone here is just thinks in completely different directions. I have no idea how Ben, Amy, and I in particular ever ran a store. So functionally.
That makes sense. I really like it when people need to fill a particular niche in their aquarium. That's always fun for me. Like, oh, what fits in this very particular spot? Because the interactions between fish are always so different.
Yeah.
Or they think they want a neon tetra. Mm. And then you show them the neon blue rasboras or
the neon green tetras or the cardinal tetras or
anything
else very similar that is much healthier.
As I sit here with a neon tetra tattoo on my arm.
Symbolic.
You've outgrown it. No.
I do get lots of compliments on it, though.
Yeah. It's a cool tattoo. I like the way it wraps around your arm.
Thanks.
My turn, isn't it? I like that we get to drink beer after hours.
Oh,
crossing that off my list.
I can't tell you how many times Ben has literally bribed people to be like, but there's beer.
Mine just says free beer. Yeah. Because we also don't pay for it.
Oh, so. True. Ben
Thanks,
buys
Ben.
All of our beer.
And
he brews
yes.
beer for
he
us.
He brews beer. He brews cider.
Mm-hmm.
I get real excited about that.
If only he had a distillery, right?
I know.
That's his next business idea. Don't spoil it.
But like, I want to throw out the like, hey, thanks to all the podcast fans who have sent in drinks for us to try.
Oh, seriously.
I just polished off the bottle of, it was in our 100th episode, which was our top 5 favorite drinks to drink. I just finished the bottle of Ironfish that someone sent us for me. It was great. I loved it.
So what the listeners don't know is that we often have like workshops or get togethers after work, and Ben supplies all of the beer for that.
If you're local, join one of the aquarium clubs and you will very definitely get to meet almost all of the staff here if that interests you at all, because we're usually at most of those, at least a couple of us.
Yeah.
And there will be beer if we're hosting.
And I will throw out there that like, hey, if you like our podcast, Ben and I both do talks, and this year has been a prolific year for me. I've done 5 talks at local aquarium clubs and 3 states.
Nice.
And I'm already on the docket for 2 for next year. So if you're looking to meet us in person, aquarium clubs in the Midwest area are probably your best bet.
He'll travel.
Yeah.
We'll travel for beer.
It's true. It's actually was one of my requirements for one of the clubs. I was like, they were like, what's your speaker fee? And I was like, I said, pay for my gas and buy me a drink afterwards.
Nice. Perfect. When I said free beer, though, that was kind of a joke. Should I wait to do another one?
No, that's a good. That's great.
A good one. That was on my list.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
literally.
Yeah.
Free beer.
It's a perk of the job.
A huge perk.
Okay.
Cool. But like, that's the environment here. Like the origin of this podcast was we would get together and drink after work. And uh-huh. Ben was literally like, you know, we should start recording these.
Nick and I were talking today again. Sorry, we're having so many conversations today because we worked together today. But I brought my dog with me to work and she's a rescue in training. We're doing a lot of socialization. And just this is like her second or third time coming to work with me. I bring her on slow days. And literally every single person that comes in the door does not pet her without permission, which is so important for her because she gets really nervous when strangers try to pet her. And I was just like, we have such a good crowd here. Like not a single person has tried to pet my dog without asking or without me telling them how it's okay to do it. And I just think that's so cool.
Well, I'm going to piggyback on that because that's one of the reasons I like working here.
Ah.
We have cool customers.
We really do.
Yeah. All of our customers are really great.
Like every single day I see at least a handful of regulars that I'm like, oh, hi, how are you? How are your tanks? Tell me about your kids.
And I've seen a couple of regulars outside of here and then you recognize each other and you look and you're like, oh, hey.
It's you.
I have literally had the interaction. So like I am infamously bad at remembering names. Just atrocious at it. And I have had at least three distinct experiences of running into a regular outside of the workplace. And outside of that context, sometimes I just won't recognize someone. And they came up to me and they were like, oh, I'm blank. And I was like, not ringing a bell. And they're like, I'm the guy with the tank with the, and I'm like, oh, how's it go? And they're like, and it's so funny to me that like, over the years, enough customers have caught on that like they'll literally come in and be like, oh, yeah, I'm the guy with the, this tank. And it's like, yeah, Charles remembers tanks, not people.
Tanks, not faces.
Yeah. Whoops.
It's a unique brand of face blindness.
Yeah. What you gonna do?
Yeah. I mean, everybody that comes in here is seeking a better way of keeping tanks. I feel like they've either heard or they've just stumbled in. But as once they stumble in, they're like, this is so cool. What a cool place. But yeah, I think we have really cool customers here. It's one of the reasons I enjoy working here.
Yeah. So something that doesn't come up a lot is that my instinctive nerd knee-jerk response to a lot of things is just straight up annoyance. I don't often initially respond to most things like joyously,
which is hilarious for customer service, by the way.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, it's just something, and that's why sometimes I come off as very measured, and that's because I'm just trying to give the appropriate response to a situation, not the emotive, non-necessary one. And that's important context for working here. I worked here full time for about 5 years, just shy of, and I can think of four customers that I wanted to yell at, and actually yell at. And the other fish store I worked at, it was every other shift. And I am not exaggerating.
It's a pretty good record.
It's a huge difference. The customers here are miles apart of any other store. You guys are the coolest.
Yeah, you really are.
Yeah.
You make our days easier and better.
True. Also, I know we skipped you, Charles, but Mandy's point is a really good lead-in to my point.
Yeah, go ahead.
Which is that I love that we're allowed to deny people fish here.
Yes.
Hands down.
Some of our only negative reviews online are that they wouldn't let me buy a thing that was blah, blah, blah. And
I think one of them was I wanted to put a Pleco in a fishbowl.
Yeah, I think that's the one. I was going to say Pleco, but some of our only negative reviews are because we wouldn't let people do something like putting a Pleco in a fishbowl. And I think that's awesome because that's animal abuse and we don't support that. And I think that because we're allowed to say no, and then we explain to the customers why we're not choosing to sell you this fish, I think people typically respect that because we're well informed, we have good reasons for denying you, and then we'll try to find something else that will make you happy and suit that niche better.
Case in point, when someone comes in and they just bought their child a brand new aquarium and they want the fish that day. And I have a child. I know how hard it is to tell that kid no. But usually once you can walk them through the reasons why and give them a good reason for it, then everybody's pretty cool with it.
Except for that one guy that threw a drink at me.
Oh, you need to tell that story.
It was within... I was working there for maybe a month, right? Something like that?
I think it was closer to three.
3 months, that sounds right.
Because I think there was snow on the ground.
Yeah, it was chilly. I was brand new. I was just scraping tanks. And this customer comes in and I think you had me do an ammonia test and you did an ammonia test. And there was ammonia in this brand new tank this guy had just set up.
And not just a little.
Like
that thing was green.
Kelly green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those fish were going to die. And I'm just scraping tanks. Charles goes up to this customer and explains to him why we can't sell them some fish today. You know, the fish will die. It's not a safe environment for the fish. You know, this is what you should do in order to make it safe for fish. And this guy was just peeved. So you're not going to sell me a fish. You won't sell me a fish today. And he had these two little girls with him. They were wearing tutus. Aww. They were adorable. Yeah.
That's the detail of the story that doesn't get brought up enough, by the way.
Yeah, that's the part that really sticks in my memory, was these two adorable little girls.
Absolutely polite, too, by the way.
So polite. You won't sell me fish. Okay. And then he storms down the aisle next to me. So you won't sell me fish. Will you? Or no, he said, will you sell me fish? And I said, no, I can't. I'm sorry. It's not my call. If there's ammonia in your tank, your fish will die. FU walks out. I kept working on my tank maintenance and I ended up near the front of the store, and he comes back like 10 seconds later and just throws like a McDonald's, something with whipped cream on it.
Yeah.
I don't remember. In the door. Makes a mess.
And my perspective on this was literally, he left and I was like, weird. What a weird guy.
Yeah.
And I go in the back and I start explaining to Ben and I was just like, yeah, I have no idea how to process this. And then Sally just walks in and she goes, so this guy just threw a drink at us. And I was like,
I miss Sally.
Yeah. And I didn't believe her. Like, it sounded like something so absurd.
Yeah.
That I was like, okay, like, I appreciate your attempt at humor, Sally, but I'm trying to have a conversation about how I'm going to process this interaction. And she's like, no, Charles, he came back in, and then Benin was like immediately like ready to like, he flew out there and was like, anyways,
he got a picture of the license plate, I think, and made a police
report
and everything.
This guy's our number one listener now, right?
Yeah.
Shout out to you, shake throwing dude.
Yeah, that was funny. That was really funny.
That was 3 years ago.
Crazy.
I feel like that's really one of the very few instances I can think of.
Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of a hilarious worst case scenario. I haven't had anything like that since. Like, I've had a couple people kind of miffed. We've had a couple people crying because something went wrong with their fish and we couldn't explain it to them.
I have had a crier.
But that's different. And honestly, I mean, that's harder emotionally to process because it's like, I'm so sorry, I can't help you. But I'd rather have a couple of those every once in a while than what I'm sure some other fish stores have to put up with every single day.
Yeah.
The criers are the worst. I'm so glad that you love your fish so much.
Don't make me cry.
Yeah. I have yet to cry because of a crier, but I've come close.
I'm so bad at processing people crying sometimes. Like, if I don't know you, I'm just like, do I walk away or do I help?
It fully depends on my mood. Like, yeah. If it's a detached sort
of
day.
Are you expecting me to cry?
Yeah. And like, I've offered people hugs before. Like that one time you had to put down that girl's betta because it had broken its jaw.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, it's either I'm barely holding it together, you're crying, or I don't know what to do right now and you're crying and this is weird, but I'm gonna keep it professional.
Slowly slink away.
Yeah, just, like
just
the,
leave
like
him
the
alone
Homer
on
Simpson.
The retail floor.
Under my Kleenex and walk away
under the coral lights.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I don't even know what number we're on.
I know we skipped Charles once or twice.
All
yeah,
right, I like that.
Me too.
The rules don't matter.
But you get to go next, Charles.
Yeah.
Ben's not here to keep the order.
No.
It's true.
That's what happens when you're not
here.
Where
has Ben been, by the way?
He's in Costa Rica.
Costa Rica.
Ugh, he gets back tomorrow.
Enjoying himself. How dare he?
In the sun. It's freezing here.
Snorkeling.
Raining.
Beaches.
Ugh.
Rainforest.
Yeah.
He said he was going to catch some fish, not bring them home, but catch some. I'm excited. He's going to have a whole... Oh, sorry, Charles. Another thing I love about this job is that whenever anybody goes on vacation to places with fish, they come back, or other cool wildlife, they come back with a PowerPoint presentation.
<That's>
they
true.
Show us pictures. And we have a whole team meeting and drink beer and look at the pictures from their vacation. And it's so fun. Okay, go ahead.
No, that's good. So I'm going to say my next one is the fish selection here.
Hmm.
And not just like the fish selection here is just absolutely wild, but I mean specifically that like, Ben actively encourages the hyperfixations that people have by like ordering like
gobies.
Yeah. That's like, and it's not just like, yes, Charles loves bettas, so we always have bettas. It's like, oh, Charles is really vibing Lake Victorian cichlids. So right now we're ordering a lot of Lake Victorian cichlids that we weren't ordering 3 months ago and won't be ordering 3 months from now when he's over it, because he's excited about it now. So that means we can talk about it. He'll talk about it and can sell it. And so like that, there's a specific mentality there that he's very good at tuning into.
African butterfly fish. I have some at home and I've been obsessed with, and he got in a group just because he thought I would sell them. Little does he know I'm keeping them because I want them.
Yeah, gobies are my main thing. I just love all the gobies.
Me too. They're awesome.
So I have a biotope right now with bumblebee gobies and emerald eye rasborus.
Mandy, you should tell us about your tanks.
Oh.
Go.
I have a 20-long Indonesian biotope with bumblebee gobies and emerald eye rasborus and a 20-gallon mixed reef with all saltwater gobies.
Nice. I didn't know about that reef. That's cool.
And this is the one that this is the end result of refurbishing the other tank? Like, you tore down a reef recently, didn't you?
No, I tore down, I had a 10 gallon, I started with a 10 gallon with just an antenna goby, and he committed suicide.
Oh.
R.I.P.
Crunched up on my carpet. So then I upped it to a 20 high, and now I have a Watchman goby and pistol shrimp pair, two green banded gobies, a neon blue goby, and a short striped goby.
Me personally, I think the epitome of Ben like acquiescing to the hyperfixation was around the time, like, I love designer clownfishes and like the different strains and breeds and stuff, but leading up to the designer clownfishes episode, I did like all this reading, all this background stuff, and so of course that means every day I'm coming to work and I just will not shut up about them. And so like,
true,
the next clownfish order we did, Ben literally sat down and was just like, okay, we're going to go through all the designer clowns and we have this much budget for designer clowns. You're going to pick them. And he literally just let me go through. And I was just like, and this was before I was doing orders myself. Mm. And so I was like, it was a big deal at the time for me.
And we had in 1 billion clownfish. I remember that order. Yeah. There were so many clownfish.
Because I think that order was 75 orange oscillaris, 25 Darwin clowns, because we could get F2s of like true Darwins. And I think we ordered an additional 30 designer clownfishes.
That was a lot of clownfish.
Yeah.
A lot. But I like them.
I feel like we should do that again sometime. Those
oh
guys
yeah,
are cool
and
to have
the wild type clowns too.
Oh yeah,
I don't remember how many of those we had. Probably six of like four different types.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
No,
order.
We definitely get some cool fish in here. That was on my list. Cool fish, things I've never even heard of, could consider.
It's the only retail space I've heard of anywhere close to Michigan.
Yeah.
That has killifishes on the reg.
I love it when somebody comes in and they're like, oh, I'm into this really, I'm looking for this obscure, cool thing. I had somebody come in today who was like, I think I want to get a pike cichlid, a dwarf pike cichlid, but I don't think anybody carries them. And I was like, come downstairs. We have some dwarf green pike cichlids downstairs. We have like eight of them.
You mean
no big
these?
Deal. These pike cichlids?
You open up your coat jacket.
The most serendipitous one I've ever had was like when I first started getting the West African cichlids, and specifically Pelvicochromis, and someone came in and they were like, man, I'm looking for Pelvicochromis, what was it? Taeniatus, a Nigerian red, I think. And he's like, and I can just never find them. And I was like, well, guess what? You just lucked in, because we just brought them up out of quarantine yesterday.
That's so fun.
I love it.
It makes me so happy.
So many cool fish.
Yeah, it's always something fun.
Always something.
People are like, come in and they're like, my favorite is when people come in and they're like, what's the most exotic thing you have? And you point at this like brown, like little cichlid from
Edithay.
Yeah, like from obscure little island in the Indo-Pacific or something. And you're just like, yeah, this thing. And they're like, what the hell is that? I don't envy Ben, by the way.
No, me
like,
neither.
He has to make all these hard calls. God. He has to, like, he's the one, like, he's the one that when we're excited and it's like either we don't have the money or the space, he has to be like, No.
When me and Mandy come to him with hearts in our eyes saying we will both quit if you don't let us set up a rainbow shiner tank, and he had to say no.
It's true.
And that was hard on us, but
broke our hearts.
Broke our hearts, but I never really stopped to consider what that was like for him.
Yeah. No, it's way worse for him.
That's why he deserves to go to Costa Rica, I guess.
Yeah.
Bitch. Makes the big bucks.
Yeah.
I love
He's
him.
He's laughing right now.
He's great. I hope he gets a kick out of this podcast episode.
If he doesn't,
we won't post it.
Do you think he knows? I think he's watching on the cameras right now.
No, I don't think there are cameras up here.
He's got he's got a Geiger counter. It measures bullshit and it sends him a notification when the meter's too high.
His phone's just off the charts right now.
He's just like, what the hell? Did you know he's in my phone as Big Boss Ben?
Yes.
The big BBB.
BBB.
All right, so I'm going to go next. Another thing I love about here is we get to bring our dogs to work.
True. So many dogs.
I know. You were so nervous about bringing in your dog, but every time you left with the dog, we were like, man, that was so much fun.
I'm glad. especially after that one time she knocked, she's barking, she's chewing her toys in the background, and then she knocked over that beer right onto Amy.
During a live stream, no less.
During a live stream.
Oh, that's funny.
So Amy has an amazing screen cap of her being like, oh, as the beer is like pouring into her lap.
It's on Facebook somewhere.
So we've had Eva's dog, Mort, or Morticia. Mm-hmm. She's a rescue.
Who's bumping my leg right now to scritch her.
My dog, Jada, who's a rescue Australian Shepherd.
She's so cute.
Amy's dog, Mac.
Also a rescue, right?
Mac Attack.
And Splash, the quintessential shop dog, was also a rescue.
I think Splash holds the distinction for the most likes and comments we've ever gotten on a post. We did it like when we were doing the Meet the Team, we did a Splash one. And I think Robbie would have solidly won if it wasn't for Splash just destroying him.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
One ear up and the one ear down.
Yes. Aww,
she's so cute.
If you haven't seen Jada Splash, go to our Facebook page and look through the photos. She's in there. Mm-hmm. She's a cutie.
Maybe we should do a Meet the Dogs.
We should.
I love Splash because like me, Amy, and Ben, we all have very different relationships with her. We're like Splash's favorite person in the world is Robin, Ben's wife. And so like when she's here, Ben's her favorite. But the second Robin shows up, she's just like, screw you, mom is here. I don't have to listen to you anymore. And she has this weird like sibling rivalry relationship with Amy where like Amy will try to get her to do stuff. And Splash is like, I don't have to listen to you. You're not my parent. Get out of here. And then she and I, because I love training animals. I love trying to work with them. And the only thing that ever really stuck with her was she knew shake when I first met her. But at some point I got into my head that I wanted to teach her that if I offered my right hand, I wanted a specific paw. If I offered my left hand, I wanted a specific paw. And I remember that was so frustrating for her for so long. She could not get it. And the day she got it, our relationship was never the same because she was one of my favorite examples of a dog finally understood what you were asking them to do. And she was so excited. Like, I figured it out. I'm so excited. And so like to the point where like 4 months afterwards, if one of my hands moved, that paw would be twitching because she was excited. Like, I know this. I know this.
That's
Come
so
on,
cute.
Give it to me. And I was like, she's such a sweetheart. And after that, she would start doing stuff like I have a very distinct memory of one time customers came in and they were just, Splash doesn't particularly like people.
No, especially, she kind of accepts people.
Yes. She tolerates them begrudgingly. And she was like near the front of the store. And I remember she got up, she walked into the back behind the register with me, and she didn't like curl up behind the register like she normally does. She went behind my legs like a kid hiding behind his mom's skirt, and I just was just like, this is so cute. She's such a sweetheart.
So when I was gone for some health reasons for a particular amount of time, And I came back and she was here and I was up at the 220 talking with Allie and I felt this little poke in the back of my leg. Poke, poke. And I turned around and Splash was poking me with her nose as to say like, hey, you're back. I missed you. Yeah. So sweet.
She does a very specific, like, she'll put the side of her, like, snout on the back of my knee and, like, kind of shove so my knee gives out when she wants to go for a walk. And my favorite example of that was when I first took the new job. And she and I hadn't seen each other for probably, like, a month. And I come into the back, and she's back there with Ben. And she gets up, walks over to me, and nudges the back of my leg. And even Ben was just like, bro, I'm right here. Like, I could take you for a walk. And she's like, no, I want Charles. And she's never done that before or since, but just that was a very clear, I missed you. Let's go for a walk. And I'm like, oh.
We need a Splash sticker.
Oh. Somebody write that down.
I was about to say, we have the file for the...
Oh, yeah.
We could modify that for the sticker, I'm sure.
So one year for Christmas, we got Ben. So Ben has a homebrew. Obviously, we all know he homebrews. He has a home bar. And my husband actually is a woodworker. And he made some custom tap handles. And then we had things engraved on them. One of them was Splash.
Aw. Those are really cool. I remember those. Do we have time for one more?
Yeah, I got one.
Awesome.
My favorite thing about the store is the podcast.
Aww.
Yeah.
Genuinely, I think it is one of the better podcasts that I've ever listened to. And I might be biased, but I remember somebody sent the first episode to me. It was like, I think it was Ben. And it was like, take a listen and see if there's anything, any critiques or anything. And I was like, honestly, I think it was awesome. Just clear information. You guys are fun.
It's going to be very clear in this episode, but Ben, Amy, and I have a dynamic that is impossible to replicate.
And we all also have a dynamic. We're so cute.
I'm fearing hearing myself. I don't want to listen to
I myself. Haven't listened to the podcast episodes with me in it.
You're like, skip.
Pass.
I used to approve episodes before they were posted, so I got way too used to hearing my own voice. And every time I bring that up with Amy, she's like, yeah, I used to edit them, and I'm still not used to my voice every time. Anyways, sorry. I interrupted you.
I think that's an excellent podcast.
Yeah, like I don't work here anymore. Well, I do, because I'm actually paid to be on the podcast, fun fact. But there's a reason why I work full time in a completely different situation, and I come here every week to record a podcast, and I look forward to it. And it's a combination of the people that are here, the people that are on the Facebook group, and the podcast itself. It's fun to write, it's fun to be a part of, and it's fun to do. And like, it's even gotten to the point where I can officially say that I'm pretty sure because I do the podcast, there's going to be another podcast out in the world, because at the Institute, a group of moms were like, we should start a podcast. And one of them started talking to me about it, being like, kind of like, I don't know. And I was like, well, this is what we did, and this is like what you shouldn't do if you want to do this. And this is how, and she came out of that conversation so excited. I'm pretty sure that they're seriously going to start a podcast about being moms.
Oh, I love it.
It's cute.
Also, yeah, the dynamic between you, Amy, and Ben is so unique and very fun to learn from. You do a good job of riffing off of each other and correcting each other. And you all have very different approaches to the hobby, and you appreciate different things about it, which I think is part of what makes the podcast so well-rounded.
And Amy has some zingers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I miss Amy's zingers. When she worked here, she kept everybody humble.
Yeah.
It's great.
Listen, I'm going to throw this out here. I feel pretty confident saying that I have experienced the most of Amy's zingers.
Yeah.
Not just because I've been around her the longest, but I haven't brought up the fact ever before that some of hers were so strong that she waited until we were privately alone to give them to me. And let me tell you, like, and I mean this in like, they were so funny, but like she can wreck you.
Yeah. And she had like, what, 3 older brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's good.
I love it.
You also talk a lot.
We do.
You do.
I do.
Which means there's a lot to roast.
Well, so fun fact about the podcast, Amy and I once figured out that of me, Ben, and Amy, I actually talk the least often, but when I talk the longest.
Yeah.
Or you just do the heavy sighs.
Nick gives me so much crap for like, specifically when Ben's like, it's your turn. And I'll do this like, to like figure out which point I want to talk about. I have never lived that down.
You never will, because you still do it.
We just need a shirt.
I'm like aware of it, and I can't stop.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, the gist of it all is that we really enjoy working here.
Yeah.
And we enjoy working specifically for Ben.
Yeah.
He's a great boss and a great friend.
So, we never did a shameless plug. I'm going to stick it here at the end. So, what is it? Watercolorsaquariumgallery.com. We have all sorts of merch. We mentioned we have stickers. We do a lot of live plants. Amy's actually the one that's running the plant propagation lab these days. So, if you want plants specifically from the person who has most wrecked me in my life, then you can buy them from her. And stickers designed by Ben and Amy specifically. I am actually in the process right now of sketching up one for myself for the first time because I'm sick of them saying designed by me and the other guy. I want us to be able to say by us. So I'm going to make one design. And so I don't have a timeline on that. I'm a very particular type of artist. I'm a diva. It'll take time, but it's happening. And check out the Instagram post and Facebook page and check out all the cool photos by Mandy. And
stop in and see us.
Stop into the store. Talk to us.
Come say hi. Tell us you listen to the podcast.
Listen to the podcast. Tell your friends about the podcast. Tell your other fish friends about this cool place that people wanted to do a podcast just because they love it. And is there anything else I should bring up before closing?
We'll give you a basement tour if you're nice and we're not busy.
Yeah. Those are the two criteria. Nice, yep. And not busy.
You can become a member on YouTube to catch our live streams of the podcasts. We're not live streaming this one because Amy isn't here and we don't know how. Sorry, guys. But all of our regularly scheduled podcast episodes do get live streamed to YouTube now. So if you want to watch... Amy, Charles, Ben, sometimes me, sometimes Allie, sometimes a couple other people.
Or just people hanging out.
Yeah, people just hanging out.
The one thing we forgot to mention, I'm sorry.
We do live stream right before the podcast too, so sometimes you'll catch some banter.
The one thing I forgot to mention, or we forgot to mention, is that Ben doesn't know we're doing this podcast.
No.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a surprise for him.
Yeah, it's like he comes back tomorrow. We should probably make sure he knows about it before it's posted, but
no.
Either...
No.
No, I don't think so.
This was Amy's idea, by the way. I was like, no podcast next, because I've been sitting in on a lot of them lately. I was like, no podcast next week. And she was like, I mean, we could. Let me know if you can come up with a topic. And I was like, okay, I will. And then I didn't think about one until yesterday, and she already made plans.
Yeah. But the live streaming, there's actually... It's not going to show. It doesn't show up in the finished product, but we do have bathroom breaks and we're topping off beers and stuff. And the most interesting conversations happen then.
Mm-hmm. We have to cut out.
Yes. Those are the ones that do make it onto the live stream. And you can also, the live streams allow you to ask us questions and we can answer those in real time. And those typically don't make it into the podcast,
We usually answer them after the podcast, right? Not real time.
So it depends on whether it's relating to what we're talking to about at the moment or whether it's just a general question. General questions just get slapped on at the end.
That makes sense.
But if it's pertaining to the topic, we'll usually just kind of like integrate it into the episode.
Beautiful.
You guys
are so smooth.
3 years.
So smooth.
So smooth.
I feel like I'm going to be judged for this podcast, but it's okay. Go ahead and judge as you will.
God.
I think you're good.
Judge away.
So I think that means I have to do the outro.
I mean,
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you guys have had as much fun listening to this as we had recording it, and keep those hands wet.